The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States has called for support of Christians in the Middle East through spiritual and practical means. Archbishop Giovanni Laiolo was speaking recently at the Assembly of the Pontifical Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant People. Catholics and Christians in general have found their communities rapidly dwindling away in the Middle East, suffering from discrimination and violence.
Dobbiamo dire purtroppo che c'è una grossa difficoltà, quella dell'emigrazione.
Lebanese Bishop Bishara Rai sees the pattern of Christian emigration and its worrying long-term effects firsthand. Christian families, he says, are leaving because of what has become a general economic, social, and political crisis in the Middle East. And they're fleeing from war, especially in Palestine and Iraq.
Molte famiglie e molti membri delle varie famiglie emigrano.
Now, he says, we are faced with the serious problem of the draining of Arab society, of the living strength of Christians.
Stiamo affrontando il problema dello svuotamento della società araba dalle forze vive cristiane.
Well, here in Rome, Archbishop Laiolo says that living strength is being sapped across the Middle East. He cited figures for just a few countries where the downward trend is most apparent. In Iran, where Catholics once accounted for 0.1% of the population 3 decades ago, now have dropped down to 0.01%. The same trend holds true in Syria, where Catholics once were almost 3% of the population. Now they're less than 2%. And war in Iraq has forced 2/3 of Christians to leave that country. In Israel and Palestine, the situation is the same, where Catholics used to be about 2% of the population 30 years ago, now they're about 1%. Well, Monsignor Laiolo said the whole Catholic Church must mobilize itself through diplomatic initiatives and economic measures to help Christians, as well as make society and civil law stronger, raise cultural levels through providing better training in social sciences and humanities, and improve the status of women. And here, he said, the church can provide an important contribution to train Christians and inform Muslims about the Christian faith via radio, internet, and satellite programs. I spoke with one Catholic priest who recently returned from a spiritual and fact-finding pilgrimage to the Middle East. Father Peter Stravinskas is superior of the Priestly Society of Cardinal Newman. He's also editor of The Catholic Response. I asked him how he thinks Christians in the West can support their cousins in the Middle East.
I think the whole question of reciprocity has to be pressed much more seriously. We saw here in Rome a few weeks ago a couple of cardinals going at it with each other about the question of religious education in the government schools of Italy, whether or not Islam should be taught. And to me, you know, this is stunning that we would say, oh, sure, we're going to teach Islam to the Muslim children in these schools, when in the countries of origin of these same Muslims, you could even be arrested for celebrating Mass in some of these places. And so when the second cardinal came back and said, let's talk about reciprocity in the other places, or Mussolini's famous comment that there'll be a mosque in Rome when there's a basilica in Mecca, and granted, some people say, well, Christians should take the higher road. Well, theologically that may make some sense, but we're also dealing with a political situation, and I don't think. That and while I, as a Christian, have an obligation to turn the other cheek personally, I don't have the right to do that collectively. And particularly when people's rights are being violated, and John the 23rd, who is, of course, always presented as the great advocate of peace, but he also said one cannot vindicate the rights of others until he's first of all vindicated his own rights. And so in a purportedly democratic society, where this kind of oppression is going on, and it's not just a tacit approval of it, but in many ways governmental connivance with it or agitation for it, I think that we have to say something, and the people there have to say something. But at the same time, if we take seriously this idea of the Catholic Church being a worldwide family, then we who are in a position to say something have a serious moral obligation to do everything in our power in terms of the media and governmental pressure where we are to raise the consciousness of people to these serious problems. I've always felt a serious obligation to do that, for example, when I'm in Israel. And I have seen many, many times brutal treatment of Palestinians, particularly children, on the part of Israeli soldiers and things of that nature. I don't say that simply because someone's a Palestinian, he's a saint, and the Israelis are all monsters. By no means, and God knows that's an incredibly complicated situation. But at the same time, to treat people so inhumanely, as I have personally witnessed, I immediately intervene. And at times I've been told, shut up, or we'll take care of you. And I say, oh, I'd be very happy, I said, because I am a Catholic priest, I am an American citizen, and I'm a journalist. And if you want to arrest me, I'd be very happy to go to jail. Well, immediately, of course, there's a pullback at that point. So I think that we have to be a lot more proactive in this. And I think, in a lot of those places, the Christian silence is not only deafening, but it's scandalous to the oppressors themselves, who think, we would never allow this to happen to our co-religionists. Where is the Christian voice?
When you're saying the Christian voice, you're talking about the Christians outside the Middle East.
Sure. Yeah, because in many ways, they are voiceless. Because they're being oppressed right now, and if they opened their mouths, God knows it would probably be far worse.
So, what would Jesus say today?
Well, at times I think our images of Jesus are skewed. Yes, he's Prince of Peace. And we look at, lovely little statues of the Infant of Prague. But he's also the individual who could say, you whited sepulchres, you hypocrites, stop this. And he was not afraid to confront hypocrisy and double standards and injustice wherever he found it. And we have to do the same thing. I think we have to be very careful, and particularly when I say we, in this instance, priests and bishops, that we don't toe a political line in things, that we don't take sides in a partisan type manner. But where the issues are concerned of human rights, and particularly religious freedom rights, that we have to be extremely vocal about this. And we have to move our own people in this regard.
So what, I asked him, do you say to Christians who are more interested in the spiritual side of their faith, rather than in seeking social justice for a more balanced world?
Well, I had an interesting experience. Our community ran a parish for 3 years recently, and we have a very Vatican II approach, which is to say, liturgically we follow the books, but we're great for solemnity. So a lot of use of Gregorian chant and incense and beautiful vestments and things of that nature, and we generally wear our cassocks. And when we arrived, many of the clergy in the area were just outraged that we were there to begin with. And then we were there about 2 months, and we opened a food pantry. And some of them went to the bishop and said, "What is it with those guys? They like Latin, they wear cassocks, but they open a food pantry." As though to be of a traditional mindset would be to exclude the social component of the gospel. And we see this in Pope Benedict's recent encyclical. These things go together. And Cardinal Newman, the patron of our priestly society, when he went to Birmingham and started the oratory, he started a school and he did beautiful liturgical experiences for people. But at the same time, he was down there with the Irish charwomen dealing with their social and economic problems. And so it's not an either-or situation. And when I speak to so-called conservative Catholic groups, I often say, you've given over the field of social justice to some very, very left-wing Catholics who may have serious problems with reciting the creed, but they're doing works of justice. And Jesus says that, his description of the Last Judgment, it's not going to be reciting the Nicene Creed. It's going to be, did you feed the hungry? Did you do this? And as I say, these are not on exclusive tracks. They intermingle. Because of what I believe, I do these things. And so I think that's very important for us to emphasize.
Father Peter Stravinskis, Superior of the Priestly Society of Cardinal Newman and editor of The Catholic Response.